You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So, good morning, everybody. So, as you're hopefully well aware, we are going through John 17 at the moment, which is Jesus' prayer for us before he goes to the cross. So today we're going to be looking at a very little bit of that prayer in verse 17. So it's John 17, verse 13, which is bang on the halfway mark of the prayer. So if you've got your Bibles and want to turn to John 17, verse 13, and it should appear, which it has. Lovely. So this is all the, most of this is the ESV behind me. So if you've got a different version, that would be why. And it says, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak into the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." I'm going to break this down into four different parts, which is, what's Jesus's joy? Why does Jesus going to the Father and him speaking into the world give us joy? And how is Jesus's joy fulfilled within us? So we'll start with the first lot of those, which is, what is Jesus's joy? So what did Jesus rejoice in, and where did he find his joy? I picked out of the Bible, Jesus rejoiced in finding the lost. So within Luke 15, you've got all of the parables, the lost sheep, lost coin, lost prodigal son. They all come. And at all of those end with an invitation to rejoice in something that has been found, and he's talking about finding the lost. So in the lost sheep parable, which is verses 6 to 7, in that, "And when he comes, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous people who need no repentance." So Jesus's joy was based and founded in, or he rejoiced in, finding the lost and bringing them into himself. As we were once lost, slaves to the world and to our flesh, we are now found, and our salvation, which is important to joy, which I'll touch on later, we are now found, and so we are now Christ's joy. As we delight in him, he delights in us. For it was the joy set before him that he despised the sin and the shame. Despised the shame of the cross, Hebrews 12, 1-2 for that reference. So very much like a groom awaiting his bride, Christ waits the arrival of his church with great joy to see her face to face. And not only we get to see that wedding, we are able to partake as it and in it as the bride of Christ, the church presented holy and acceptable to him. So the other little bit I picked out is being one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and knowing he is loved completely. So in John 17:23, "I am them and you are you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me." So Jesus's joy flowed from a place of being one with the Father, being obedient and in tune to the Father in his love. Joy flowed between the Father and the Son and with the Holy Spirit as they walked in partnership on the earth. They worked in harmony, without friction, like a smooth action of watch, it flowed simply like a smooth action of watch. They worked together in harmony, and in that there was great joy, all in step with one another. John 5, 19-21. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, also the Son gives life to whom he will. I will touch more about the oneness of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and how that flows from joy. It's just more of a, yeah, this part of Jesus's joy. So how do we grasp this great joy of Christ's, for it is ours, and move into from a lovely idea into actual practice? And fortunately, in that verse, Jesus gives us two options, or two examples. Jesus going to the Father is the first one. So why does Jesus going to the Father bring us joy? Well, this is where the salvation comes into it. I'm sure you're very much aware, without Christ going through the pain and grief of the cross, we could not be saved. For if there's no sacrifice of the Lamb, we would still be under the law and dead in our sins. For under the law, we're all guilty, especially me. And we all fall short of the glory of God. Salvation is the key to opening up the door of joy. It is a foundational concept of our faith. When Paul writes, confronting to those who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, he says in 1 Corinthians 15:13-19, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. So if we have no salvation, what is even the point? Woe to us who have had bound our hearts to something that is dead. If there is no life to be drawn from Christ, no strength in his bones, no hands to lift us out of the miry pit, no stone to put our feet on, how miserable would that be? But however, Christ is not only a historical figure who lived, he is a living figure now, set at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf before the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life that we stand upon when all else is sinking sand. And God also sends us the Holy Spirit, which is our helper. I will send you the helper from the Father. The helper is the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father. When he comes, he will tell about me, and you will tell people about me too, because you have been with me from the beginning. Without Jesus going, we would not have the Spirit of God within us. And as we have the Holy Spirit within us, it allows us to speak and communicate with him in spirit and in truth, which I will segue into the next point, which is, what are the things that Jesus speaks into the world? Right, the Bible. The Bible is a very important book, or set of books, we can read what Jesus said and did. And it's the best place to understanding, or best starting place to understanding, what Jesus and God has already said. Dwelling on it and pondering it with the Holy Spirit is important. Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And part of spending time with the Bible is you're spending time with God. Psalm 16, verse 11, make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Knowing God, there is fullness of joy. And through salvation, we are made holy and clean, so that we get to enter into God's courts. We get to enter into the King's courts. We get to sit down with God and talk with him. John John 15, 14 to 16, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that you've heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you may go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So we are called and we are allowed to commune and be friends of Christ, and we are greater than that as well, for we are co-heirs through Christ into God's family. Romans 8:15 to 17, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs to God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified in him. Desiring and intentionally seeking after God leads to joy. Being rooted in him being rooted in him like he is the true vine and we are the branches. We should be bearing fruits of the Spirit, which is Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Joy is an important part of being dwelling with God. You can't have godly joy outside of him. And I think joy is number two in the list of all of the spirits of the fruits of the Spirit, because I think it flows from a place of love and it flows into peace. I don't think you can have peace without having joy, and I don't think you can have joy without having love. And finally, it's listening. Being still and knowing that he is God nourishes our souls. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the desert, the first thing he attacks is his hunger. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Listening to God allows us to be obedient and understand his voice above all others. And it is impossible to get to know somebody without listening what they have to say. We cannot be in joyous harmony with God unless we submit ourselves to him and listen to what he says. So, what does it mean to have his joy filled in us or fulfilled in us? So, is there a limit to the amount of joy that we have? Do we have all of Christ's joy, a little bit of it, just up to our heads? How does that pan out? So, the word in my ESV translation is fulfilled. The Greek word is pleru. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Pleru. It means to abound to in full measure, to the brim, like a good pint, to render complete, to bring into realization. This means that Jesus is saying we can have his joy in its entirety, from the tips of your toes to the hairs on your head, within the pain, the grief, the depths of hell, even there he is with us, as it says in Psalm 193. And because he is always with us, we can draw on him, as Psalm 28, verse 7. This is the Amplified version because I liked it a bit more. The Lord is my strength, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and my song I shall thank him and praise him. So, righty, to wrap this up, we have joy, Jesus's joy, freely given to the brim, that we may partake in it by being one with him. It is by his blood that we partake in the marvelous mystery that is being one with God as Jesus is one with the Father. These are the words of God, and they are his promises. And he says his word will not return empty to him, Isaiah 55. It shall succeed. Being one with God is a promise that he will be in us and us in him. Again, John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bear them. It is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. We are to push into him in surrender, wanting to see him and his face, desiring to dwell in his presence. Like two lovers who only wish to spend more time together, in each other's presence, there is great joy, for we are his bride and he is our groom. Joy comes from being one with the Father, and yeah, I think that's about it. Amen. Thank you.